If you've been having nightmares about sequestration, you're not alone. Congress, the Pentagon, the defense industry, they're all having the same bad dreams. Sequestration is the jargon used to describe the 10% across-the-board spending cuts that could come in January. NPR's Larry Abramson reports on a beltway divide over how to deal with these looming cuts and the fears they inspire.
Sometimes people deal with their biggest fears through denial. They refuse to plan for the inevitable.
We don't have any plan right now for sequestration.
George Little is press secretary for the Pentagon, perhaps the world's premier planning agency. But the Pentagon views the threat of a 10% budget cut like an invasion from Mars. It's too awful, too scary, too, what's the word?
We typically don't plan against absurdities.
Sequestration is an absurdity so terrible it was never supposed to happen. Why absurd? Because sequestration requires that all programs be cut equally, and many analysts say the nature of defense spending does make it very hard to cut that way. Todd Harrison with the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments says some weapon systems are particularly tough to trim.
You take, for example, your Virginia-class submarine, where we're planning to buy two per year. You can't, if you have to cut back by 10%, you can't buy 1.8 subs.
There's someone else who believes Pentagon cuts are uber scary, but Buck McKeon, the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, says it's best to confront our fears and talk about them.
I worry that the cavernous silence from the president will lead many to exit the industry or to walk away from capital investments that are in the best interest of our troops.
Actually, McKeon wants the White House to explain how it will manage defense cuts, hoping that the administration will end up with the blame for job losses that many say will result from a smaller military. McKeon invited defense contractors to testify before Congress this past week to share their anxieties over the coming sequestocalypse. Pratt & Whitney CEO David Hess testified that if the administration would only talk about how they will manage these cuts, he could at least manage his business.
Companies are limiting hiring and halting investments, largely due to the uncertainty about how sequestration cuts would be applied.
The industry has been staging anti-sequestration rallies and releasing reports that claim a million people would lose their defense jobs if the cuts go forward. After lots of prodding, the Office of Management and Budget and the Pentagon have agreed to appear at a sequestration hearing next month. But both agencies have refused to discuss actual plans so far, and there's no reason to think that will change. Some say this irrational fear of sequestration has made it impossible to embrace the only rational treatment in this beltway psychodrama, looking for manageable cuts to defense. Heather Hurlburt of the National Security Network says any cuts would follow years of spending growth.
This enormous department has grown by 50% over the last decade.
Hurlburt agrees sequestration would be a nightmare. But she says Congress is virtually guaranteeing the worst will happen by refusing to consider even limited cuts.
There's been a lot of discussion about whether we might have a modest copay as part of military health care, and Congress has vigorously sort of acted to prevent any kind of discussion of cost-saving reforms in military health.
So there are two strategies for dealing with fear of defense sequestration: refuse to talk about it, or talk and talk about how awful it will be. More research is needed to say which technique is most effective. But neither will cure the underlying disease, failure to agree on a deficit reduction package. Congress's clinical trial ends in January when the sequestration nightmare becomes real. Larry Abramson, NPR News.